So forgive us, Father, for all our worry, our fear. In this life, it's not our home. We're just passing through. But we're supposed to honor you. We're supposed to live for you. Thank you for all of creation. I know it's tainted because of sin and part of our corruption, but one day there will be no more sin. We're going to actually enjoy you in the fullest and all of your creation for those who are saved. So I yield myself to you, Lord. May your word speak and strengthen your church today. Those who are not saved would come running to you for forgiveness, so they don't are left behind if you would come today and experience things that that's like going to unfold like no one's ever dreamed of. No movie has even touched. So we thank you for your word, for the encouragement of it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so last week I started on Revelation chapter 1. I'm going to try to do some of it today and then finish it next week. But just always going to remind you all the time, the purposes of studying this book is just not to gather information. Remember, it's to encourage you, if you're a believer, to encourage you to keep going on despite what's going to happen in your life. The persecution's going to come. Maybe you're struggling as a dad, a mom, financially, whatever it may be. We know in the end you're going to be with Jesus Christ. He's coming back, right? So you always got to look at the end game and say, look, be encouraged no matter what's happening. Stay faithful to serving God no matter what. Some have drifted away from following God because their circumstances of life, they got tempted with sin. I remember I had a whole series of being drawn away from God, living in the wilderness. You don't want to live there. So let this book challenge you to be encouraged. But also it's also to help us to live holy. 1 John 3:3 says, every man that hath this hope, talking about the return of Christ, in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So it should cause us to say, hey, I want to be more like Jesus Christ. And it's not to be a better Christian. It's not to say, I'm going to try to live a holy life so I could, pass out Jerry and I could look more holy than him. No, it has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with human beings. It has to do with the glory of God. Right? For us living to our life to bring glory to him for what we were created. It's not to be better than someone else. We're all the same at the foot of the cross by the blood of Christ. That's it. That's what's getting you there. But we should honor him with our life. So this book, as we study it, right, it should cause us to say, hey, Jesus, change me so I could be like you, so I can honor you in my life and the words that I say, the hands, what I do with my hands, my feet. Even this week, I'm thinking more and more. Every thought, I was trying to bring a captivity to God, because that's where it begins. The third reason is to learn more about Jesus Christ. In this chapter, I'm going slow. We're going to get into this week and next week who Jesus is. The deeper knowledge you have of him, it's like this. The more you get to know me, you're going to see my flaws. You can say, I don't want to spend time with Pastor. But the more you get to know Jesus Christ, he is perfection. You want to be him because he's always loving. He's always kind. He's always truthful. So it's to cause you to have a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. And the last thing is that we should be now speaking this gospel message to everybody, because if they don't get saved and the rapture happens today, they will be deceived, most of them. All right, Revelation chapter 1, we looked at verses 1, and I'm just going to read real quick. I'm not going to spend time, go back and listen. 1, 2, and 3 last week, but you see verse 1, the revelation, apocalypse is the English word we use of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, show unto his servant things, which must shortly come to pass. And we looked at that. It means as soon as it happens, we suddenly. It doesn't mean in time. And he sent and signified by his angel unto his servant John. And last week I gave you the illustration about the word means unveiling, right? It doesn't mean chaos. It doesn't mean, like the movies portray it. It means an unveiling. And I gave the illustration of my wife. I had her over for dinner, right? And I had all these casserole dishes. And she loved pizza at that time. And she still does, but pepperoni pizza. And I revealed it to her. But I said there was a box next to her. And everyone later on said, what was in the box? No one you said was in the box. It was a big, huge box. And there was a smaller box and a smaller box, and it was a ring, and that's how I proposed to her. But But when this is open, you see the seals being opened. You'll see it in Revelation chapter, remember 4 and 5 talks about the scene in heaven. We'll talk about that. But 6, when everything is unveiled, what's going to come is going to be devastation. All right? And then verse 2, it said, who bear record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. So John would receive this vision, and he would write it down. It was going to go to the seven churches, but eventually to everyone. Now we have the gospel of Jesus Christ if we're saved. Now it's our job to tell everybody. How you doing with that? Honestly. Go with me to John chapter 4 for a second. John chapter 4. You know, we're supposed to, you know, tell everybody about Christ. And even the people you don't want to tell. Here's Jesus in John chapter 4. He's going to go, he's traveling to Jerusalem, I believe, here. He's going to, in verse 1, real quick, I don't want to spend a lot of time here. Verse 3 says, he left Judea and we used to party. He was going to Galilee, excuse me. And he was going to go through Samaria, but no one went through Samaria. But he says he must needs go through Samaria. So he went to a place that nobody wanted to go to share the gospel. And long story short, this woman, eventually, he meets him at the well, and she believes. Look at verse 28. And the woman then left her water pot, which she came for physical water, and went her way into the city and saith to the men. So she went to say, man, I'm going to go tell everybody about this Christ. Come see a man which told me all things that I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they were out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. So they went out and get some food. They brought it back. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Did somebody else bring him some food? Great verse. Jesus said unto them, my meat or my nourishment, what I get satisfied by is to serve. It's to tell the good news, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. One of my favorite verses is John 17:4. Jesus said, I came to bring you glory, and I finished the work you called me to do. So I'm asking you today, are you finishing the work? You got to finish strong. My brother was a preacher for many years, and, you know, a lot of people, they're just like, well, I'm going to go on vacation. We're going to go retirement. There's no such thing as retirement for a Christian. Right? You're still going to tell everybody about Jesus. I can't wait to, if I, quote, retire and not have to get a paycheck, now I can spend all day telling people about Jesus. So I don't know where you are right now. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know what you're trying to get at, but I'm telling you, go back to the gospel. And wherever you do, whether you're a police officer, whether you're working in an office, wherever you start looking as a ministry, your neighborhood, whoever it is, yeah, you could provide, you can work hard, you can have a house, you can have all those things, but don't let them have you. Too many Christians are working for things to pay off. They went way ahead, now they're trying to pay for all these things, and they're missing life, this abundant life. Verse 35, say not yet, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. People say sometimes, hey, God, I pray that you'd give me some souls. Man, they're all around you. They're at work. They're your neighborhood. They're everywhere. Start praying every day. Get all the people that you work with and start praying for them every single day. Lord, I pray for Judy. I pray for Joe. Open up their eyes. Lord, may I show Christ to them by what I say, how I treat them. Right? Start praying for all your neighbors. We're starting to get to know all the neighbors around here. I should have went out there a long time ago. We're out here now meeting all the neighbors, walking by, praying for them, encouraging them. Some of them are running from God. You could see it. Yeah, I know I'm running from God. So we're still here for you. We're going to keep praying for you. And he that reapeth receiveth wages. Man, you're going to get a great paycheck in heaven. And gather fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth, that was in the context, it would be the Old Testament prophets, John the Baptist, right? And he that reapeth may rejoice together. You know, it's more difficult to keep sowing and not seeing results, right? But you got to keep sowing. He says, and herein is that saying, one soweth, another reapeth. I sent you to reap that wherein you bestowed no labor. And that word labor, by the way, has the idea of weary. it is hard sometimes to be a Christian and tell people about Christ. Don't fall into this trap, these people that preach this stuff. It's all about, you know, what God's going to do for you. It's all about this comfort lifestyle. There's no such thing in the scriptures. There's books that people write out there. And I'm like, where is that in the Bible? There's no such thing. There is promised peace and joy inside when you yield to the Spirit. And you can have the greatest life, the abundant life. But it's not about the outside. Nowhere does it teach that. I'm going to take you some passages. Jesus said the hardest truth, man. I say it almost every week. Go just read the words of Jesus this week. He goes on to say, other men labored, and you are entered into their labors. Verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman. Now let me ask you a question. How many people have believed because the saying of you of sharing the gospel? Now again, I'm not saying you'll always see the reaping, but I'm talking about all the sowing. Imagine if you can get to heaven, I don't know if this is true, and then go back and say, hey, these are all the people that you witnessed to. Could you imagine? Now listen, I don't expect everyone to be out here Tuesday morning and Thursday. I know you got to work, of course. But listen, if you're a mom at home with your kids, you go to the park, that's the harvest. You go grocery shopping, it's the mom that's struggling that you're helping. It's all of those people. Don't think if I'm not out here, I used to sometimes be in churches or hear people say, oh, if you're not there out there Saturday morning, you know, witnessing, you're not right with God. It's nonsense. If you can, great. But it's your sphere, wherever that sphere is today. I'm challenging you today to tell people about Jesus Christ. Vance Havner, great preacher, he wrote some great books. He said this, too many are willing to sit at God's table but not work on his field. What's that saying? Hey, I love being saved. I love all the blessings of it. It's great. I'm going to heaven. Jesus is taking care of me. But they don't want to work in the field. So are you working in the field today? Please start working in the field. All right, go back to Revelation 1. Look at verse 3. I spent a lot of time in here, but there's a couple things that I missed that I want to go back. It says, blessed is he that readeth. I want to go through these words a little bit. And they that heareth the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Again, the purity of time, when it unfolds, right? So the word readeth there means the idea is, the Greek word is to know. The word here is akouo, where we get the word acoustics from, right? It's talking about hearing something over and over. Do you know in periods of the Dark Ages, even during Nehemiah's time, you read Nehemiah chapter 8, where people had explained the word to them. They didn't have the word in their dialect. Some just people can't read. Now, you are so blessed. Who has a Bible in this place? Everyone does. You probably have two or three, right? And I want to know, did you read your Bible every day this week? Don't. This is all hypothetical. Last week, people were just starting to ask questions. I said to a couple people, ask me later, not during the sermon. I said, look, the Word of God is going to be eternal. We don't read it, but we'll watch 3 hours of TV. We'll do our hobbies. We'll do all those things. And I'm not saying some of those things are wrong. How can we let this eternal book that changes our life sit there? You know why? Because we're so caught up in all these other things. We've got to work for this. We've got to do this. We've got to do this. And if I have time, I'll read my Bible. Like it's a chore. This is what gives us life. If I said to you this week, how many times did you eat physically? I said, Pastor, I only ate once. You would be in trouble, right? That's why we're anemic, spiritually speaking. Because I tell you what, I remember going to a men's group all day on Saturday or somewhere else, and the guys heard like 5 sermons. They all come back, they're all on fire for God. Why? Because they heard the word all day. I'm just starting to stir you up. This, he says, look, if you'll read it, you'll hear. And then it said keep. It means to keep on guard. Don't let it escape. That's the idea behind that word. It means let's not escape from doing the Word of God.
James 1:22, he said it this way, "Be you doers of the word, not your hearers only, deceiving your own selves." A couple of weeks ago, Lewis was teaching a men's group, and he was talking about, you know, that how we can get healthier and lose some weight. He says, but it's going to take work. You're going to have to eat healthy. You have to exercise. We have to work at it. It's going to take effort. We got to stop talking about it. I've seen people talk and talk and talk. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. Even husbands. It's Father's Day. The greatest thing you could show your kids is that you love God and He is first in my life. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. I had to apologize to my kids more than once. I was talking to Ashley and, you know, last week, and we're doing some marriage counseling and different things, and just the things that were coming up about me and whatever. And so I always used to try to ask my kids, hey, how can I be a better dad? Because I don't want to ask that question. How can I be a better husband? Why? You're afraid of the answers? Sometimes people can look at our life and they could see me. I remember Nelson Bonilla preached a message. He says, the guy in back of you knows the back of your head better than you do. And it's true, right? They can look at your life and we think that we always think we're better than we really are. Do it. He goes, all right, honey, I'm so sorry. You know what? I'm going to change that. You know, I was just talking to Matthew and Ashley. They had to work on some things like we all do. I was like, look, I want you to work on this. Then one thing, I want you to work on that. Because if you don't, it's going to get worse. You're going to bring it into your marriage. So this idea, you'll be blessed, you'll be well off, you'll be happy. Psalm 119 verse 2 says, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with a whole heart. Jeremiah 17:7 says, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. I heard of this Christian man. He was married to his wife and she had rheumatoid arthritis so bad. He had to bathe her for 33 years. He had to take care of her. He was a faithful, godly man. And that's what it is. You know what? I'm going to stay with that person no matter what. People are leaving people for all kinds of reasons and they're not biblical. I just want to be happy. Well, where's that? See, the focus is wrong. It's not like I'm here to serve Linda, to serve her. I'm not here. Hey, honey, I want to be happy. Can you make me happy? Where is that in the Bible? Like, really going to follow God and His Word? Now, you can't do it in your flesh. You're going to have to yield to the Spirit and say, I'm going to look at my husband as unto the Lord, because right now, I can't just look at him. I get it. That's why it says, unto the Lord. Look at you got to say, unto. I'm doing this for Jesus, not for you, right? Because at that moment, you don't want to do it. So, for 33 years, her dream was to go to Uganda and start an orphanage and help these kids that had no mom and dad and start a school. And then she died. He sold everything and he went to Uganda and he fulfilled her dream and their dream after she died. That's a faithful man to God. He reached thousands of kids. His son said eventually his son went to see, hey, what was going on? He went there, and within 3 days, the dad died of malaria. And then the son was sober, and he goes, he took it over. At his funeral, there were thousands and thousands of kids that came to this guy's funeral. Now, after 33 years, you would say, man, I'm done. I'm going to go find another wife. I'm just going to go relax. And be, you know, that's what he could have done. I'm challenging you today. I'm challenging me. I'm telling you. Let's really live for Jesus, man. Not for ourselves. I don't care how old you are. And it begins in the home. I say it all the time. I'm going to say it every week. It begins in the home. It's how we're treating people right around us first. Are we serving them? So now let's talk about verse 4. It says, John to the seven churches, and we'll look at the seven churches next week. I had some slides I was going to show you, but I'm going to wait until we get to chapter 2 and 3, which are in Asia. Now, Asia there is talking about Asia Minor, the Roman province of Asia Minor. It's modern-day Turkey and the Western Turkey today. Grace be unto you and peace. Now, watch now. From him, who's him? It's God the Father. And I'll show you this in a minute. Which is and which was and which is to come. So if you just read that statement, you think, oh, it's Jesus. No, it's not. And then it says, and from the seven spirits, we'll look at that. Remember I tell you, when we get to parts that people disagree, I'm going to give you all the views. I'll get to that in a second. Which are before his throne. Well, we know it's the Father, so I'll show you. Go to Revelation chapter 5. This is where people start getting confused now. Who's talking? What's going on? I want to go slow, and I want to teach you this, all right? Look at chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. Again, we'll get to these. I'm just reading verses. We'll get to the context of them when we get there. All right, a scene in heaven. I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he, Jesus, came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Who was sitting upon the throne? The Father. Okay? Going back to Revelation 1 again. From him which is and which was, which is to come, from the seven spirits which are before what? His throne. So this verse 4 is talking about the Father. It's not talking about Jesus. All right? Now these seven spirits, there's two main views. One is it's the Holy Spirit, speaking of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not going to go all these scriptures, but Isaiah chapter 11. The second view is it's seven angels in high places. Revelation 5, 6, I just read it, said, I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb that had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Revelation 8, 2, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God, to them were given seven trumpets. So again, I'm going to give you the views. You can lean one way or another. Good men, I looked at both. Some, John MacArthur would say this, somebody, other person would say this. So you, I'm not here to argue all that, okay? Now, let's talk about Christ's position here in these verses. The first one I want you to jot down is the proclaimer of truth. Look at verse 5. Now, here's what I want to do now. I want to spend today and next week talking about Jesus Christ and who he is. And it's important to understand the foundation of Jesus in chapter 1 and what he has done for us as we go further in this, right? Look at verse 1. And from Jesus Christ, each phrase I'm going to look at, who is the faithful witness, the prophet. He is the faithful witness. Jesus spoke the truth to everyone, no matter who they were. Just think if we could do that. If we could just honestly, humbly speak the truth to one another. Not behind each other's back. Actually, just speak the truth in love. Could you imagine? John 18:37, he's standing before Pilate. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. So if you reject the truth of Christ, you're not going to be saved. Now, I want to give you three examples of Jesus saying the hardest truths. And the first one's to his disciples. Go with me to Luke chapter 9. I'm going to look at disciples, unbelievers, and the false religious leaders. Look at Luke chapter 9, and let's start in verse 46. Now, watch this, the truth. Three simple truths I want you to see. He's talking to his disciples. Look at verse 46. Luke 9, 46. Then there arose a reasoning among themselves, which of them should be the greatest? So they want to be great. They want to be number one. You know, it's like, I want to get to the top. I want to become the CEO. All right, I'll show you how to do it, Jesus says. Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and set him by him. Now, a child hasn't attained anything in society. And he said unto them, whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me receiveth them that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. So look, the first thing he teaches in other verses is you want to be great? Be humble as a child and look to serve. That's how you get to the top of anything. I don't care what job you have. This is the truth of Christ. It's not how intellectual you are. I'm not saying study, know about your job, of course. But that's not what's going to get you to the top. And that's not what's going to get you rewards. Just think, if I and you at home were humble servants in the church, everyone's like, no, no, whatever you want, Colette. No, no, whatever you want. I said, no, I want you to change this, do this, do that. Now, I understand we have to change things. Don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about advice. It's different when somebody comes to you. I mean, I remember things that, like, 2 minutes before nursery, and the person's going crazy. I'm like, all right, we'll deal with it after. I can't deal with that right now. It's a whole other thing coming humbly and say, after, hey, can we change some things? Can we? No problem. Jump to verse 51. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face, and they went, and they entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. So he sent some people ahead, hey, tell them to come through, and the Samaritans did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. The Samaritans hated Jews. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, man, they said, Lord, will thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them even as Elias did? And he turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit you are of, for the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. So what was he saying? He's saying, will you be compassionate? Yeah, let's show some compassion. You know, this is the time of grace right now. Everybody needs to be saved. We're supposed to go tell the message, right? This is the time. One day, God's going to judge. That's coming. He's coming. He's coming as King of and Lord of Lords. That's coming in Revelation 19. That's going to come. But right now, tell everybody, let's be compassionate one to another. Instead of, you know, we always want to take that person down. We talked about it in Romans 12. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Give it to the Lord. Heap coals of fire on their head by overcoming evil with good. Some Christians get so irate and they watch the news and all these things. God is still sovereign over it. Now, verse 57. These are hard right here. And it came to pass that as they went in their way, they're going to Jerusalem, a certain man said to him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. So in his mind, he's saying, I'll do anything for Jesus. Maybe in your mind, you say the same thing. You know what? I'll do anything for Jesus. And then Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He's saying, you're worried about comfort. You're going to follow me? There may be, again, this whole idea of comfort. I'm not saying God's not going to take care of you. But if your first thought in your mind is, I want to be comfortable, it's going to be a problem. He says, look, then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me or allow me first to go and bury my father. I mean, he wasn't dead yet. Jesus said to him, I would never say this, but look, Jesus said it. Let the dead, the spiritual dead he's talking about, bury the dead. And go thou and preach the gospel. You know, he's just saying, again, it's a focus thing. Let's focus on the spiritual kingdom, not on the physical kingdom. I'm not saying don't go to your dad's funeral. Then he says, and another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are home and at my house. And it seems all reasonable. And Jesus said to them, no man hath putting his hand to the plow and looketh back is fit for the kingdom. He's saying like, hey, don't be divided. Serve now. They're heading to Jerusalem right now. There's no time to go back, literally at that moment. I go to Luke 13. Luke 13. Now he's talking to unbelievers in general, Jesus. Verse 1. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, which blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he's talking about here, some soldiers were offering sacrifice at the temple, and some Galileans were slain by Pilate's soldiers, and their blood got mixed with the sacrifices. That's what he's talking about. Verse 2. And Jesus answering, he said unto them, suppose ye, you know, you're thinking, he says, that these Galileans were sinners above or greater all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or, he says, those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them think that they are sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem. So the idea of being killed or dying, you know, this tragic thing, oh, they must have been really bad people. No, you can't make that conclusion. That's what he's saying. He's saying, look, if all don't come to me and repent, they're all going to perish. Let me take you to one more. Go to Matthew 23. I'm just saying, these are just three examples of truths. The faithful witness. That's what he is. That's what we're focusing on in Revelation 1, right? Look at Matthew 23. He's talking to religious leaders, not saved, have external righteousness. Verse 23, woe unto you, scribes. They were the lawyers. They defended the law. And the Pharisees, the religious leaders, hypocrites. For you pay the tithe of the mint and anise that's dill and cumin. It's like a caraway seed. And have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Judgment. So you guys aren't even fair. He says, mercy, you're not even compassionate. And faith. He says, these ought ye have done, and not to leave the other undone. He's saying, look, you know what? You should keep tithing. But look, focus on what's really important. He says, you blind guys, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup of the platter, but within they're full of extortion and excess. They were robbery. They were taking people's properties. And verse 26, thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside them may be clean also. Hey, that's a very good verse. I was talking to somebody this week, and he kept saying, my life is such a mess, there's no way I got to clean up my life to get to God. And I always tell him, you can't. You don't have no power to do it. Don't focus on the outside. Focus on the inside. Only Jesus can change you. I told him, you got to get saved and have the power of the Holy Spirit to change your life. He works from the inside out. Don't clean up the outside. The outside takes care of itself. That's like when I get a new believer. I've grown. Yeah, I have grown, okay? When I first get a new believer, I just want to like, do this. And now I'm like the opposite. I just teach them the truth and let God get in their heart. And then what they do begins to change. I had this one guy I took off the street. I cleaned him up, shaved him, got him clothes, did everything for him. Put him in a Christian rehab. A week later, he's walking out there on the streets again. He was my convert. I could clean up the outside, do all that. It's got to be a heart thing. And then watch what he says. Verse 27, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you are like unto the whitewashed sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful on the outward, but are within full of dead man's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but when within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Won't you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. And I say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. They say, look, if we were back there, we would have never killed the prophets. Wherefore, ye be witnesses unto yourselves that you are the children of them which killed the prophets. They're trying to kill Jesus. They're planning to kill Jesus right now. He says, fill you up the measure of your fathers, you serpents, you generation of vipers, you poisonous snakes. How can you escape the damnation of hell? That's Gehenna. It's eternal. Now listen to me. The only way we're going to speak truth faithfully is to not shy away from suffering for it. You know, okay, mom. Right? You have some kids and you're like, oh man, this is the truth. I know it's the principle of God's word. I'm going to teach my kids. But you get weary and it's like, all right, you just start compromising. Like, I know I've been there. Don't do it. Any truth that you know is in the Bible, don't water it down. We're in a generation where the word is getting watered down. It's incredible today. Even in the church, I'm talking to the church. I'm not even talking to lost. It's getting watered down more and more and more. It's all about my happiness. It's all about me. It's about me, you know, just leaning in. It's all about me. Christianity is not. Right? It's about serving. And there's going to be suffering. There's going to be sacrifice. All of those things. But I tell you what, when you do it in the spirit, you have this joy of serving someone. How could that man for 33 years bathe his his wife. Didn't you think in his mind sometimes, like, well, I wish I had a wife who could do all these things and go hiking. But you know, go, no, I'm going to be faithful. You don't know this week what's going to happen to one of your loved ones. Are you going to stay faithful? You're going to stay faithful to the truth of God's word in action and word. I was just showing you, Jesus did it. No matter who is in front of him, he didn't worry about what they were going to think. He did it in love, right? But sometimes we hedge. We say, I'm not going to, you know, maybe you had one kid, you did this, and it's like, oh, you know, they went off, so no, I'm not going to do another kid, you know. And I struggle. Look, I'm just an open book. My son Paul, man, I miss him so much. But when he was a teenager for a couple years, it was tough. Later on in his life, he lived all out for Jesus. He was one of those people all this way or that way. Man, it was tough. And I had to say some truth to him. I said, if you go and do this one more time, I'm done. I'm out of the ministry. He's got to rule your own household well. That's one of the qualifications. Because he was 16 at the time. As soon as they turn 18, they're on their own. But before that, and you know what? That kid, a tear came down his eye. And after that, he started to change. Because it's like, your life's going to affect my life. Not that I'm a perfect dad. All right, let me just end there today. Father, you're so good. Thank you, Father. You have to put up with me. I know, Lord, you've been working on me. You're still working on me. Please keep working on me. I want to know you more. I want to love you more. I want to serve you more. I want to be a better dad, a husband, a servant, a pastor. So, Lord, please look at all of us. Everybody with their head bowed, their eyes closed. You're here today first. Look. This book is so powerful. These words are so powerful. Truth of God's word will change your life. I know it's hard sometimes to stick to it because the world's going the other way. Don't let it happen. Don't get, you know, go to some of your friends or people at work and they're saying, ah, don't worry about this. You're watching certain things you shouldn't be watching. You get desensitized, all the murders, all the adulteries, all the, you know, and then there's pornography waiting at the fingertips of everybody. It's crazy today. These 8-year-old kids that have a phone, a 10-year-old, they're bombarded with the world and its philosophies. May we, as Christians, whether you're young here today, you're a teenager, you're a young adult, you're married. You know, maybe some of these thoughts of God's word, the opposite, like, man, I want to get out of this marriage. Man, I'm sick and tired of listening to my parents. You know, I'm tired of trying to, you know, wait for this Christian guy or girl, and I'm just going to, like, go with somebody. There's a pretty girl in the gym, or I know people have drifted away, and they're unequally yoked right now. Please don't make those mistakes. Come back. God's word is true. Be a faithful witness like our Jesus was and is. He promised you, if you're his child, that he's going to take care of you. He can't forsake you because of the print nails in his hands. He's going to come back for you. May that just encourage you to be the mom, the dad, the child, wherever you are, the worker. Don't grow weary. This is all going to end. Let's bring glory and honor to our Savior by what we say and do. Let's change. Oh God, search each one of us that we would repent. As believers, there would be revival. And Father, I pray for all those that are listening that they don't know that they're saved or born again. Some of these terms they don't even understand. But I pray that you open their eyes, take the blinders off, and show them that, Jesus, you loved them so much that you died for them. But they got to see themselves as a sinner apart from you, going to hell in order to say, I need a Savior to go to heaven. Will you please turn, repent, or you'll perish? Those are the words of Jesus. And get saved today. And this whole new life will open up. You receive the Spirit of God. And you'll have the fruit of the Spirit. You'll have a compass now. You'll have a GPS, the Word of God, to guide you till you get home. So help us, oh God, to run back to you. Let it to be our first love, not our second. Thank you for your patience with me. Father, we can't wait to see you. Until then, thank you for this privilege, this honor to know you,
and to be your ambassador. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.